Welcome to the Wackle Gather podcast. My name is Judy Mitchum. Wackle is an organization for top female leaders in marketing, media, and communications. In this podcast series, I will be talking to some top female leaders, women who are also known to be change makers. This podcast is being released in advance of the Wackle Gather event on the 23rd of May. It is sponsored by Whaler, the most creative influencer marketing company. My guest today is Jo Parker. Jo is Chief Operating Officer of Chime Communications, a leading marketing services group which has over 2,000 employees. She's also Group CEO of the Chime Specialist Group, a group of agencies that span financial services, technology, and sustainability. In her career, Jo has founded, bought, and transformed companies. She has never been afraid of taking bold decisions, and she takes change within her stride. Jo, a very warm welcome to this episode of Wackle Changemakers.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's lovely to see you. And I'd like to start, if I may, by going back to the early stages of your career. Your first passion was acting. You went to drama school, am I right? And then you trained as a speech therapist.
I did.
Be interested to know what kind of skills you picked up there that have made you into the change maker that you are today.
Well, I think the first one was learning the power of creativity and communication to cut through barriers and reach people and connect people in a way that is incredibly powerful. So I think that was the most obvious skill. But I think the other thing is that my career didn't start in a sort of normal way for our industry. And I started off thinking that the creative world was for me, and not even knowing about advertising agencies or knowing about the sort of role that I'm doing now. So I suppose I would say that when I look at people coming into my business, I know that you can come from lots of different backgrounds, and actually that's a really useful thing.
So yes.
I think that's a big learning, actually.
Yes, and no doubt with the speech therapy, you learnt about the power of communication as well.
Yeah.
And the skills that come with that.
Yeah.
As a young woman, you did in school certainly encounter quite a few barriers that you had to overcome. I'd be interested to know more about that, because no doubt that has formed your character. What would that have been?
Yeah, well, when I was at school, I was not very good at school, and I didn't particularly fit in, but I've struggled with exams, and I was found out that I had dyslexia. And actually, what that's done is two things. One, a lot in my school career, I was told I couldn't do something. I was told what my potential was, what I couldn't do. And actually, I set out to prove them wrong, and did so, actually. And so I think, for me, it's don't put me in a box, never put me in a box, never define what I can and can't do. And I say that a lot to young people I meet who are in school and looking at what they're going to do for their career. Only you can define your potential. So I think that's made me quite determined, actually. I think that has been
yes.
a core part of who I am. And also I think dyslexia, because the world we live in is very complicated and there's a lot of information to assimilate. When you're dyslexic, you learn to focus, to assimilate information in a certain way. And I think, honestly, that has been a bit of an advantage, because I'm used to taking large amounts of information that seem quite complex.
Yes.
And simplifying that. So people talk about the dyslexic advantage, and I've chosen to think about it in that way.
Well, it's so refreshing that you should share that with us, and, you know, fascinating that you find a way around challenges, and if people say no, you will find a way around it.
Mm, yeah, 100%.
Tenacity, which is what we need. And we're now in this world of rapid change, and you are Chief Operating Officer of this huge group. Can you tell us a bit about what that job entails and what you do in your job? Because I'm sure a lot of our listeners would love to hear.
Yeah, being a COO is about making sure that the company's resilient, that it has the right platform for growth. So that can be anything from making sure that you've got the right people and talent strategy, and that you're looking after people and you've got the right culture, through to processes, you've got the right IT platform for growth. Have we got the right governance, so we're managing risk? Because in marketing we love talking about growth and opportunity, but the other side of it, are we making sure that risk and reputation is being managed? So those are all the things that a COO needs to have a team looking at and have oversight on, and then report to the board and make sure that we have that framework in place. But I'd also love to be called Chief Collaboration Officer. I'd love to change my title, because I think for me it's very much about how I connect people across the group, connect opportunities, conversations, learning, knowledge. So I think that collaboration piece is ever more important, actually.
So you're bringing people together.
I bring people together, find people who have got similar issues or opportunities, and bring them together.
So your approach to managing change in a world which is moving very fast, but yet you want to bring people together, how do you go about bringing about change?
Well, my style is, as you know, because we've worked together,
yes,
very much about creating a framework of a direction, if you like, for people, and then creating different bonfires, lighting different bonfires. Not every one will work, but a lot of the time that is the way to really get change embedded in an organization, if people feel empowered to make that change themselves and they understand, yep, why that change is needed. And change is the hardest thing to do, and I learned this from our chairwoman Tessa Jowell, who sadly died last year, but was just incredibly influential for me. I mean, her whole life was about affecting change, and she used to say to me, it's about resilience. And resilience comes from change at a grassroots level. And that's what she did in politics. And I hope I've tried to learn what she taught me. And I can see that every day, actually.
Yes. So it's not about the command and control style that used to define leadership.
No, and I think it works in certain organisations. But I just think, increasingly, it does not work in the modern workplace.
Yes.
So, no, I think we all have to adapt to that. And it's the best way to make sure that you've got long-lasting change.
Well, as you mentioned, I have had the pleasure of working with you, and I have observed how you are both a brilliant businesswoman and a tough negotiator, but at the same time incredibly popular with your people, and you take people with you and are very accessible. So how would you describe your management style?
I think it's about treating people like you'd like to be treated, and I think we're really lucky to work in the industry that we do. We're very fortunate, and my family comes from the Midlands, you know, come from, my grandfather was a pit boy down the pit, so I never forget where I've come from and how lucky we are doing what we do. And I think there's been a lot of egos in our industry, which can be quite unappealing, and I think this era requires us to collaborate and to work alongside people. And I love the idea of servant leader, actually.
Ah.
You know that phrase, servant leader?
Yes.
I really like that, and I hope I'm that. I strive to be.
As well as Chief Collaboration Officer. You've affected quite a lot of positive social change in your company. You are passionate about diversity and inclusivity, and I know you've recently launched Chime Q, which is an LGBT support group. At the same time, you lead Chime Grapevine, which is a network for women within Chime. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's about creating some communities within the organisation so that people can support each other and learn from each other and be inspired as well. So Grapevine has been, the idea was nicked completely from Wackle. And so we get inspiring women along to talk to our colleagues. But we've also created this wonderful community that connects with each other and supports each other. And then Chime Q is a new initiative, and I'm the board sponsor for that, and some of my wonderful colleagues have set that up and are doing a brilliant job. And Jan Gooding, who obviously is a fellow WACLer, spoke at that launch event, as well as Lady Phil from Black Pride UK. And it was a really wonderful event, and that again is about bringing people from the outside in to help us be better, a better employer, basically. So I think these are all about initiatives that allow people to come together. But Lady Phil actually summed it up brilliantly last week. She talked about the need to be visible and vocal about the things that matter. And I've always felt that we had a very inclusive environment, and we've always had a lot of very different people working in the agency. And I've always thought it was a given, really. But she made me really think, actually, no, you have to stand up and say stuff is important. You can't just assume everybody feels the same way or knows that you feel that way. And so that's my pledge for this year, that I'm going to be more visible and vocal.
So it's speak up and speak out. Which is indeed one of the WACL mantras.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, you mentioned really wonderful events in talking there. And of course, coming towards us on May the 23rd is a really wonderful event, which is the WACL Gather event for aspiring female leaders. I know you've obviously attended that in your past, and I wondered if you could share with us why you think that event is of such value.
Well, amazing speakers and people who have got board experience, set up businesses, work all over the world. Basically, any question that you might have, you can ask these people, and they will tell you very honestly how they did it and what they've learned. So I would say, be the first one to put your hands up, be brave, don't hold back, and just make the most of that opportunity. But it's not just the people on the stage, it's the people sitting next to you and in front of you and behind you that could be friends in work for life, and you'll learn as much from them. So I would just make the most of all of the people around you.
Yes.
Make the most of that opportunity. It's fantastic.
And if we're thinking about that generation of women who are working their way up to get to the top, what advice would you give them in terms of their career and how to get to the top?
Well, Oscar Wilde said, be yourself because everyone else is taken. And I totally agree with that. You have to really own who you are, know yourself really, really well, and be authentic and true to that. But more than that, I think I'd love to have said to myself early on, play to your strengths and don't worry so much about your weaknesses.
Yes.
Because everybody has weaknesses. And in school, we are taught to spend a lot of time working on the things we're not so good at.
Yes.
But what if we spent all our time on the things we were absolutely good at, and we became absolutely brilliant at them?
Yes.
And just, I would say that, you know, own your strengths and invest in those. And then you can build a team around you who can do the thing that you'll probably never be very good at, because no one's an all-rounder.
So
you cannot be good at everything.
This is about getting real about your own personal strengths and weaknesses and just playing to your strengths.
Yeah, just play to your strengths.
Yes.
And I wish I'd known that.
Are you optimistic about the future?
Yes, 100%. I'll tell you for why. We run a youth board at Chime called Chime Innovate. And I have a lot of brilliant young colleagues in the group as well. And when I listen to them and listen to their ideas and the things that they challenge us as a board about, I can see that the future's really bright, actually. It's exciting. I'm super optimistic, actually.
Well, on that wonderfully positive note, I would like to say a very big thank you to Jo Parker. And I would also like to thank the GDST and Mediacom team who have allowed us to put this together. And I would encourage you to attend WACL Gather on the 23rd of May, which will, of course, be a wonderful event.